We have got a trio of three of the best experts on California marijuana reform. Lauren Vasquez is on the line. She's the Fired Up Lawyer at Fired Up Lawyer on Twitter. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hello, Russ.
Glad to have you back. We've got Chris Conrad as well, certified court expert on cannabis and author of far too many books for me to recall right now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, there. That's in the Newbie's Guide to Cannabis and the Industry, my new book with Jeremy Dawn. It's just come out about a month ago.
That's right, the Newbie's Guide. I wanted to mention that, and I couldn't remember what the title was. Okay, the Newbie's Guide. Check that out. And then, of course, Mickey Norris, longtime freedom fighter and also author of numerous books. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having us on your show.
Oh, so glad to have you here, because there's a lot of misconceptions about the Adult Use of Marijuana Act and, you know, the urgency of passing it. And one of the things I've run into online, well, for one, there seems to be this weird hatred of billionaires who want to give us money to legalize. I just don't understand. You know, somebody wants to give me $1 million to legalize Idaho, I'll take it and run, I'll tell you. So Sean Parker donated $1 million, and there's this kind of conspiracy thinking that it's somehow a way of sewing up the marijuana market, that it's going to be monopolized, it's all going to be these big players, it's going to kick the little guy out of the business. Chris, give us a rundown on what you think of those kind of thoughts and how the business might turn out after ALMA passes.
I think that people who propagate that notion actually tend to be people who are part of the existing medical marijuana monopoly, and that they're afraid of the competition. Because under the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, it creates a multi-tiered licensing system that will actually allow people more easily to enter the system than they have been up to date. And so it's going to create a lot of competition from some of those people who speak negatively of it right now. But let's just look at one thing in particular, the creation of the micro business license. This is a license that will allow a person to, with one license, they will be able to be producers, processors, distributors, wholesalers, retailers, and allow on-site consumption at their location. Under the medical marijuana laws, that would be a whole group of different businesses, each owning their own piece of it. And so then that ensures that the people who are already in there will be able to control the system as it exists now. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act is going to add additional restrictions against the monopolistic tendencies of the market. It gives a benefit to people who are already in the market that they are start off with an advantage, and it keeps out-of-state people from getting licenses for, I believe, 2 or 3 years, and then big licenses are not going to be issued for 5 years. So this is really designed, is that, you know, you can't save the way the economy is changing the marijuana marketplace. That, you know, we can't stop those from going forward. But what this is doing is giving people at least a five-year buffer to get established for people who are already in the market or who are interested, Californians who are interested. And the other thing that's really important is that it makes it so that having a prior marijuana offense is not going to stop you from getting a license. So it's really very, very good for these people. For people who are interested in getting into the marijuana business, it's not as good for people who have an entrenched monopoly in some locality and they want to hold on to that.
Well put. Lauren, you're the lawyer on the team, and as someone who has to deal with folks that run against these criminal prohibitions, I wanted to run this by you, because there's some sentiment out there where people say, you know, this isn't good enough. You know, we've got Prop 215. Prop 215 takes care of us. We're fine. We got places to shop. The cops aren't bothering us. Why rush into 2016 with this Adult Use of Marijuana Act? It's only announced. It's only 6 plants. Why not wait till 2018 and get something better?
Well, aside from political strategy issues with running an off-year election initiative, there's people who are being targeted who can't afford to wait. I get a lot of calls every week from young people, mostly young men of color, Hispanic males in their early 20s, who get stopped and pulled over and harassed by the police and arrested, quite frankly, for no good reason, sometimes for almost outright legal behavior that we would think of as a patient, for having 5 plants at home, for having an ounce of pot on your person. That as patients, we think, of course, that's allowed. But when you're the one that gets targeted and the police don't care because it's still their discretion to stop you, to search you, to cite you, to arrest you if they want, those people can't afford to wait. And so we got to keep those people from getting harassed, from getting criminal convictions, And so many young people don't know their rights. So even with the protections that they do have, they're not able to exercise them fully. And so by taking cannabis out of the criminal realm, and it's just a product, you're 21 and over, you're allowed to have it, that's just going to eliminate so much of the negative consequences that people are seeing from these criminal prohibitions.
And it's completely unrealistic, Russian, that say in 1990, Jack Scherer and I and some other people wrote the California Hemp Initiative. It's been waiting for 26 years for that millionaire to come in and give them the money. Last year we had something like 17 different initiatives filed, and none of them raised enough money. It wasn't until 96 that we got medical marijuana on the ballot, and then it wasn't until 2010, 14 years later, that Richard Lee put the money in for the Proposition 19, and now here we are 6 years later, this guy's putting the money, this organizations are putting together the money, and now people say, well, we shouldn't take the money, we should wait for something better. And some of us have been waiting for 30 years, and some people have been waiting for 50 or 60 years, and this it's not magic. It takes money to win an election. So the idea that magic money is going to show up has never worked for us up to this moment.
Mickey Norris, your book on shattered lives and the way that the drug war impacted families and victims of this drug war was one of the first books I read. It had a huge impact on my interpretation of what's going on. I want to find out with Adult Use of Marijuana Act what that does for the POWs. What does it do for the people who are still incarcerated, still on probation, still dealing with the legal ramifications of a pot bust?
Well, for those facing penalties that are being downgraded, they'll be subjected to those downgraded penalties. So some people might just get out of jail right away. We're excited that people will be able to, there's going to be fewer arrests and prosecutions as a result. We're hearing from attorneys now that said, oh, well, next year maybe I think we need to start thinking about a different profession, because the clients are not going to be going to court. People are not going to be going to court so much for misdemeanors, things that have been downgraded in these penalties. But people who are currently in jail, there are some retroactive relief, and they're going to get out if it's reduced. And people will be able to get their records expunged as well, or reduced or expunged, I should say, to reflect the new penalty structures. And that's one of the best things about ALMA, is how many offenses have been downgraded in terms of their penalties. Some felonies are becoming legal. Some felonies are going to misdemeanors or misdemeanors to infractions to legal. So there's going to be a lot fewer people getting arrested in the first place. We just saw an article in the paper yesterday that was talking about how the opposition by the police and prison lobby are starting to organize, because they're afraid that they're not going to get the grants and the money from the asset forfeiture that they're currently getting, that the prisons are going to start closing, that they're going to not have enough prisoners. So they're trying to protect their jobs, the people who are against ALMA. So we think that it's going to have a significant impact on how many people are getting arrested, how many people are getting prosecuted, how many people are getting incarcerated. And that to me is one of my main reasons for supporting ALMA, that we're sick and tired of seeing all these people getting arrested. In fact, there's still, under Prop 215 and even people with medical defenses, there's still a good 11,000 felony arrests every year in California. That's going to come way down. We've seen that come way down in the other states that have legalized it, and it's going to happen here too.
Lauren Vasquez, when I first met you, you were working with local normal chapters. You'd done a lot of work with SSDP, and you may be aware of the fact that sometimes 18, 19, and 20-year-olds like to smoke pot. What does ALMA do for people who are of voting age but not yet of weed age?
That's a good question. You know, it, it doesn't make changes for them on some of these penalties. They stay the same. They're adults, 18 to 20-year-olds. It's a transition period. We have to address the reality that alcohol is 21 and over, and so marijuana is also expected to be 21 and over. Now,
in California, tobacco smoking is 21 and over in California now too, right?
They have made some headway that direction in some of the cities, and they're looking at doing that, I believe, at the state level as well. So, yeah, they did that. So that's kind of the expectation, is the age is 21. And under 18, we've removed the threat of jail. It's community service and drug education. There's no going to jail for minors at all. So you get that chance to come out with a clean record. But once you're 18, you got to take that responsibility. And so the penalties are going to remain the same for those folks.
Actually, what she says remain the same, though, what she means is that they get the benefit of all the downgrades that people over 21 would get as well. And that the things that are illegal for people who are over 21 are going to be infractions for them. So when she says stay the same, she doesn't mean the same as they are now. She means the same as they are for adults.
So for example, currently for people 18 to 20 who are growing up to six plants, that's a felony with 16 months or 2 to 3 years in jail. It will become a $100 ticket infraction. So they're going to get some of that, some great benefits from that downgrading of the penalties.
Hmm. Absolutely. Okay,
yeah,
now look,
well,
looking back to our last campaign in California in 2010, when you look at that county-by-county map of who was against it, we see the Emerald Triangle, the Trinity, Mendocino, and Humboldt counties, long, legendary, old-school, multi-generational growers up there, were against Prop 19. What sort of outreach is the campaign doing to try to convince the grow regions of California that didn't support Prop 19 to support ALMA?
Well, one of the things that's quite different, though, is that during the Prop 19 campaign, once it made the ballot, the federal government came in and threatened to arrest everyone. They did flyovers all over the state, and the federal government made a major show of force up in that area, and a lot of people felt like if Prop 19 passed, the Fed said they were basically going to invade Northern California. Now, right now, we've already had four other states legalized, so that same kind of threat doesn't exist anymore. But the other thing is that we're finding actually quite a lot of support up there for people who are interested in becoming above board. You know, there's people who say, like, they're happy with, you know, being outlaws, and they're happy being outlaws. But we talked to a lot of people who they're interested in that micro business license. They want to start a small grow. They would like to have a job as a bud tender. They want to open a bud and breakfast where people can smoke on site. So a lot of people see this as really a step forward. And Mendocino and Humboldt County are two examples of counties that are already planning the next step after ALMA passes.
Wow, let's look bigger picture, you know, national picture here. Looking at California's potential marijuana market, what I've read is that the current marijuana market, the legal states so far, is a $1 billion market. They say California is a $12 billion market. So do you think that, I mean, speak to the national implications of the passage or the rejection of this act.
Well, if it passes, this is going to be a big boost, a big moment of empowerment for the movement in across the United States and in other countries. I know people who are waiting for California to pass this, so they say, if California passes it, we're next. We're gonna do it. If California doesn't pass it, it's going to be a big stall and possibly a setback to the movement. That the message that, well, maybe we're not ready for legalization yet. Maybe it's too dangerous. Marijuana is too dangerous. We shouldn't allow adults to be using it. And we need a, you know, whatever. It's such a regulated initiative that they can't use that excuse. So if it's losing, it's going to be a big step back. If it wins, California is the biggest state in the United States. It's going to send a big message for it around the world. And I think it's going to empower other countries like Canada and Mexico first, and then possibly other countries as well to move forward. If the United States, with such a big chunk of our population here in California, saying yes to legalization, then yeah, it's going to impel the United States also to make some more changes on the national level, especially since the federal government will respect this vote because it's written in compliance with the Cole memo, and so that should be a good reason to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I think, Russ, is that it kind of capitalizes on the Bernie Sanders energy that's getting young people to the polls. Marijuana legalization will hopefully get young people to the polls, too. If they succeed, I don't know whether they're going to succeed with Bernie Sanders or not, but if we can succeed and have a younger generation of people see that going to the polls and voting actually makes a huge difference, that's going to encourage young people to become invested as voters. And one of our big problems today is that the art of voting is dying off as the older generations go by. So this is the very kind of thing that we think is going to be essential towards getting young people back to voting and seeing the power of what they do when they walk into that voting booth.
And Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, I think we're just talking about a paradigm shift. And, you know, when we take marijuana out of the criminal prohibitions, it changes the way we think about ourselves and changes the way that we answer the question, you know, do you smoke cannabis? And right now in California, if you answer yes, you're a criminal, even if you have a medical exception. And we can change it so that if you answer yes to that question, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, your parents and your family can't.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam.
Sorry to have to cut you off, but we just heard our 20 after whistle that tells us we have to get to our union-mandated safety briefing. If you can hold on just a little longer, we'll come back to the next segment and wind it all up. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back after this safety briefing.